The background reading for the sermon this morning is Psalm 8. It's a beautiful psalm of David. How majestic is your name? We all know that psalm. It's a beautiful, beautiful psalm. Listen, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and infants you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heaven, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So far, the background reading, the text for this morning is that beautiful first petition of the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name. And the explanation of that beautiful petition, which the church has adopted, is in the Heidelberg Catechism, and that's found on page 8 of the bulletin, Lord's Day 47, question 122. What is the first petition of the Lord's Prayer? Hallowed be thy name. That is, help us first of all to know thee rightly, and to hallow, glorify, and praise thee in all thy works, through which there shines thine almighty power, wisdom, goodness, righteousness, mercy, and truth. And so order our whole life, in thought, word, and deed, that thy name may never be blasphemed on our account, but always may be honored and praised. So far, the reading of the Word of God and the testimony of the church regarding it. Before we open this truth of God, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we join with all your people here on earth and all those in glory in heaven, saying, hallowed be thy name. Dear Father, we pray you'll bless us this day. Illumine our minds. Fill us with your Spirit. Grant us the anointing and filling and unction of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ our Lord, probably the most well-known and beloved hymn that was written in the 20th century is How Great Thou Art. I think all Christians love that song. I know when Lori and I were in Korea, that was the most familiar, popular, and loved hymn that the Koreans sang. And Lori played the piano, and nearly every home we entered into South Korea had a piano. That is, every Christian home, they had a piano. And we couldn't speak the Korean language, except a couple of words. But music is an international language. It's a universal language. And so Lori would go to the piano and begin playing How Great Thou Art. And immediately the whole family and the relatives and friends who were in the house would all gather around the piano, and we would sing How Great Thou Art. We'd sing in English, they in Korea. Doesn't matter. God understands it all. And it's all about the great and glorious name of our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when we pray, hallowed be thy name, we want you to notice, First of all, the priority of this petition. The priority of it. It's the first one. For good reason. Secondly, the content of this petition. And then thirdly, the purpose of this petition. First then, the place of this petition. It's the first one. After the introduction, which is, we saw last week, Our Father who art in heaven, that's the address. That's the way we start our prayer. Really, it's taught by Jesus. This is how we have to pray. That's how we start our prayers. And don't you almost always start your prayers that way? Our Father in heaven, and maybe a few other different words, but that's what it is. We come to our Heavenly Father in prayer. And the first petition is, Hallowed be thy name. That's the first priority. That's the highest priority of the child of God. It's to give glory to God. For why are we here? Why are we on earth? Why did God put us here? In Isaiah and other portions of the Bible, it says, I have made you for my glory. I have formed you for myself. We are here to give glory to God. As the Westminster Shorter Catechism boils it down and says, what is the chief end of man? What is the chief end or purpose of man? And the answer is so simple. The chief purpose of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's why the very first petition is, Hallowed be thy name. That your name may be exalted and glorified in all the earth. As Psalm 8 says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. That is the priority. You notice in the Ten Commandments, the very first commandment is, You shall have no other gods before me. And when Jesus boiled it all down and gave the essence of the law, said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. This is the first and the great commandment. And a second like it is, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So God is first. This is the priority in our lives. Whether in life or death. That's what Paul says, you know. In the book of Philippians, Paul is in prison. And he's writing to his dear brothers and sisters in Philippi. And he honestly doesn't know if what's going to happen to him is going to be life or death. He doesn't know. But he says this, Yes, I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Christ, this will turn out, that is, my prison imprisonment, will turn out for my deliverance. It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored by my body, whether by life or by death. It doesn't matter. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. God is the chief end of man, to love God, to glorify Him. That's why we are here. We are here not for our sake, but for His sake. One of the other great confessions of the Reformation time is the Belgic Confession. And various articles are printed in the bulletin week by week. The Belgic Confession is a beautiful confession of faith. And it was written by one man. He was a pastor. And I think you know who that is. It's Guido de Bray. He was a Frenchman. He lived in between the Netherlands and Belgium. Right there is where it was, where he lived. And he was a devout preacher of the Reformed people, the Reformed Church. And they were under tremendous stress. I mean, it was illegal to be a worshiper in a Reformed church or any other church than the Catholic Church, and the Spanish government insisted on it and would punish by death anyone who didn't follow that rule. So Guido is a pastor of a congregation like ours, and he knew the government. He knew what the rule was, but he wanted to just make sure that the government realized that the people of his church were not revolutionaries, they were not terrorists, they were not criminals. And so he writes and he says to the king, King Philip of Spain, he says, "Your Honor, I am the pastor of a congregation here in the Low Countries. And I want you to know that we are loyal citizens of the government. We respect the government. In fact, God tells us to. In Romans 13, he tells us to respect the government and to obey those in authority over you. And so I want you to know that that's where we are as a people. But I want you also to know that the truth of the beliefs, of the doctrines, of our convictions, which I have written here, are so important to us, they supersede everything. And we will be willing to put our mouths to gags, our tongues to the knife, our bodies to the flames, rather than deny the truth of this confession. And this confession is nothing other than what the Bible teaches." And so he put this all in a cylinder. He bound it up and he put a string around it. And it was thrown over the palace wall. And someone brought it to the king. And the king said, "Who is this man who wrote this?" "Pastor Guido de Bray." They said, "Well, he's a pastor in that renegade church in the Low Countries." The king said, "I'd like to meet him." And so he came to the king. And the king said, "Are you Guido de Bray?" "Yes," he said, "I am, Your Honor." He said, "Did you write this?" He said, "Yes, I did." "Is this where your people stand?" He said, "Absolutely." He said, "Well, there's only one thing to do. And on May 31, 1567, he was hung. He was martyred. He was killed for the sake of the Lord. You know what he prayed? "Hallowed be thy name. What's more important, my life or the name and the glory of my Savior?" So he sealed his confession with his blood. You see, you and I are children of this Reformation. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. You can, like Martin Luther sang in that great hymn, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God," "Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever." Amen? Amen. That's what hallowed be thy name means. That God is absolutely first. Hallowed be thy name. Now the content of that, that's the priority. Now the content of that petition is, what does it mean to hallow his name? And what is his name? Well, the name of the Lord is everything by which he is known. Your name is important. In fact, Andrew Carnegie, you recall him? Carnegie Hall in New York is named after him. He wrote some interesting books. One is How to Win Friends and Influence People. He also wrote a book on how to remember people's names. And in the introduction to that book, he says, you know that there's no other word so wonderful to a person than his name. Isn't that the truth? If a popular person would come and say, I want to talk to John, and you're John, and he knows your name, well, that's a great honor. There's nothing more important to a person than his name. And if you remember a person's name, that is very important. They will not forget you if you remember their name. Well, if our name is so important, and your name, how much the name of God? It's so important. It's that by which he is known. Now, how is God known? Well, he is known by his works. You know, Psalm 8, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Out of the mouths of babes and infants you have ordained strength unto yourself. When I consider your heavens, the work of your hands, the moon and the stars which your hands have made. By the way, have you seen the moon lately? This is the harvest moon this month. It's a marvelous sight. It's glorious. It's beautiful. But it's a handmaiden to the sun. But the sun, moon, and stars all declare God's glory. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows forth his handiwork. All of creation is his name. All of it. Young people in college, high school, take biology. I remember when I took biology, I had to make an insect collection, and I got a sack, and I went to Richmond Park trying to find insects. And I'd try and find the butterflies and the other insects. And then it was leaf collection. We had to go, and we have some interesting trees on the west side. And I got leaves and insects. All of it declares God's glory. It's his revelation. Can you imagine anything so tremendous as the formation of a butterfly from a hairy caterpillar who makes a cocoon, and out of the cocoon comes a perfect butterfly? And that whole process is so important for the well-being of that butterfly. Someone was watching a butterfly come out of the cocoon and said, well, you know, I got to help that butterfly. So they tried to help it. And trying to help the butterfly get out of the cocoon, they damaged his wing and the thing never flew. No, it needs that tension. It needs that, what you could call as anxiety of an insect to get out of the cocoon in order to strengthen its little muscles. All of it declares God's wisdom. Inscrutable wisdom. And you go to school and you study this and you study biology, geography, history. History is God's story. It's his story. All of the studies of a school declare the glory of God because it's his creation. You're studying that and it's beautiful. His name is revealed and we must hallow it. We respect creation. We don't want to pollute the air. We don't want to pollute the water. We don't want to pollute this earth. This earth is God's earth, and it reveals His glory. But the glory of God is more wondrously revealed in His Word, in the revelation of Himself, the Holy Bible. This is God's perfect, total, complete revelation of Himself. Like Paul says, all Scripture, every bit of it. Passagraphe means all that is written is inspired, is God-breathed by God. This is God's letter to us. God reveals Himself to us gloriously in His Word. And do you know what this Word is all about? It's all about Jesus Christ. And Jesus is called the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything they made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God with us, Emmanuel. God's name is most gloriously revealed in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." No one knows the God except He who is with the Father, who is in the bosom of the Father. He hath revealed Him. So Jesus Christ is the Word of God. So what does it mean to hallow His name? What's the content of it? It's all of creation, His revelation in the Bible, and Jesus Christ. Now, what is the purpose? That we may know Him, that we may so order and direct our lives, that every thought, word, and deed will bring honor to His name. It means that the church must have someone on the pulpit to open the Word of God faithfully, to preach the gospel. That's what Paul says. He said that to Timothy in the last letter he wrote, 2 Timothy chapter 4, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Bring that gospel. That is the most important thing the church has to do. The most important thing in church is the proclamation of the word. That's how His name is hallowed, preeminently. And that each one of us must hallow it personally. We have to order and direct our lives so that His name is honored and never blasphemed by us. Swearing is a terrible sin. It was in the Old Testament punished by death. Cursing is terrible sin. I was on the board of Dort College, and a question came up every year about plays that the drama department would put on. And one of the things that we were very concerned about is that no swearing, no cursing of God's name, no profanity of Christ's name be allowed in those plays. Because you see, suppose you have the play Romeo and Juliet, and there is a murder at the end of that play. Now, the person who was murdered got up, and the sword was made of wood. And so it's a make-believe. But you know, you can make-believe a murder. And that's, you know, murder is terrible. But you know what you cannot make believe? You cannot make believe cursing, swearing. You can't do that out of wood. cursing and swearing is taking God's name in vain, and you can't take it back. So that was one of the things that we did not want them to do, is to take God's name in vain. Now, the Heidelberg Catechism, which is the church's official explanation of hallowed be thy name and the other petitions as well, says, so order and direct your lives that God's name may be hallowed. Now, do you know where those words order and direct come from? It comes from archery. Archery, bow and arrow. You and I have arrows. And you know what our arrows are? Our words, our thoughts, our actions. They're all like arrows. And our words, thoughts, and actions have to be shot to a target. And what's the target? It's God's name and the honor of His name. So every word you speak is like an arrow shot at that target. And everything you do is like an arrow shot to that target. And everything you think, though no one else knows what you think, God does. And that too is like an arrow shot at a target. You have the same idea in basketball. You try and put the basket through the net. That's the goal. And each one of us is like a player, and all of our thoughts and words and deeds are to be zeroed in on that target. Zeroed in on that goal. That's what it means to hallow thy name. And so, in the Lord's Prayer, we pray that. We pray it every Sunday, and you probably pray it much more than that. You pray it maybe daily. And you pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May your name be exalted and glorified. May we all, in all we say, do, and think, give glory to your name. And do you know, I started with that song, How Great Thou Art. That is one of my favorites, and maybe yours too. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I hear the rolling thunder. Oh, how great thou art. And then that third stanza. And when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. How great thou art. That is who he is. And really, that's who we are too. We're to make him great. And everyone said, amen. Lord, bless this word unto our hearts. May your name be gloriously exalted in everything we do, say, and think. And may our Lord Jesus truly be glorified. Bless us this day. Hear us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.